Everyone, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. Let's see, we're gonna turn over to number 227. And would everyone rise? And let me get over there first, 227. Down at the cross. Amen. Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was a blood applied. Glory to His name, glory to His name, glory to His name, there to my heart was a blood applied. Glory to His name. I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where He took me in. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was a blood applied. Glory to His name. Oh, precious fountain that saves from sin, I am so glad I have entered in. There Jesus saves me and keeps me clean. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was a blood applied. Glory to His name. Come to this fountain so rich and sweet. Cast your poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was a blood applied. Glory to His name. Amen. Amen.
Shall we remain standing, please, as we look to the Lord in prayer? And Brother Roger DeLisle, would you lead us, please, as we pray? Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated, and welcome to our services today. Who's reading our scripture this morning for us? All right, me. No, me, he said.
I want to read from Revelations, from Genesis to Revelations.
Amen.
About the blood, because all through your Bible, it's about the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And only the blood of His Jesus Christ on the cross can save you. Genesis 3:21. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. And you go to Revelation 14:20. I'll give you a few minutes for you to get there if you're going to follow me. And the wine presses was trodden without the city. The blood came out of the wine presses, even unto the horses' bridles, and by the space of 1,600 furlongs. The blood rises more than 4 feet for some 180 miles. This is roughly the length of Israel from north to south. Some view of this as God's righteous judgment resulting in the deaths of many of the unrepentant. So remember, it's the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross that saves your sins. So if you got any doubt about your salvation, make today the day of your, make it reassure yourself.
Amen.
And get yourself right with the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
I guess we're going to have the chorus. Or
let's do that.
We're going to have the chorus.
Let's do that. A new song today.
Amen.
Stepped in what?
Somebody over here.
Over here.
You want us all in a bunch?
Okay. Yeah, we'll come on.
In a bunch?
In a bunch.
Hope everybody used deodorant.
Okay. There you go.
Something down here.
All right.
Can you see all over my head?
No.
This is what you call a wad.
Good to hear it, okay?
Jesus, as we travel this song,
song.
Okay, if everyone would turn over to 176. 176. Amen. Oh, how I love Jesus. Amen. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its word. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. It tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of his precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. It tells of one whose loving heart can feel my deepest woe, who in each sorrow bears a part that none can bear below. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Amen. Would you all rise for our offering? We're going to sing number 270. And would a couple ushers please come at the end of the song for our offering. Thank you. In the garden. Amen. I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks in the sound of his voice. It's so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I might stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling. But he bids me go through the voice of war. His voice to me is calling, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Amen. Amen.
Brother Bob, would you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. We're going to have a piano solo here in a moment, but before we do, since this is Mother's Day, we've got some gifts to give away to three mothers. Just got three boxes of candy up here. We used to get an extra one in case we had a tie so that somebody could get, you know, both of them could have it. But we got to where we weren't having very many ties. And somebody was always saying to me, "Would you take that extra box of candy?" I don't want an extra box of candy. So we may owe one, but we don't have an extra one today. But I want the, it used to be Mary's mother that always was the oldest mother present. 103. See there? If she were here, she'd still be the oldest, wouldn't she? And then she moved on to glory, and that left it open here for the oldest mother present in our congregation. Who's a volunteer? I don't know how old you are. All right, here comes a hand up. Margaret's got her hand up over here. Is there anybody here that's older than she is? Any mother here? Yeah. 80, 81. That's not even old when you get our age, huh? 81. All right, that's a good start, Brother David.
We'll let Leah give it to him.
Yeah, do that, huh? Yeah. Wonderful. And now then we get down to the teenage moms. Do we have a teenage mother today? No teenage mothers? How about that? Well, let's move on. Do we have one in the 20s? A mother here that's still in the 20s. Come on here. Help me out. We got an older crowd here than I thought we did. Let's move into the early 30s. Andrea? All right. We got a couple? Huh? Three? All right, let's start. Let's start. We'll find out how old you are. Call it out. 31. Okay. Who else? And you're 30? All right. Anyone younger than 30? All right, we've got a mother there. See, at the age of 30, you're just right for candy. You can eat it without worrying about gaining weight or anything like that. Wonderful. And now then, I am so happy today to see all of the children present in this service. You look so good, and we're happy to have you here. And so we have another box of candy up here for the mother who has the most children present. The most children present in the congregation. Asena, are you going to get this again? Is there anyone here that has more than what she doesn't have in children, she makes up in grandchildren today, too? Amen? Wonderful. Anyone else contesting this? Anyone else in the running? All right. Amen. All right, now you know that Jacinta has to eat all of that candy today. Huh? Before midnight. Because she's got surgery at 8:30 in the morning, and we don't want those surgeons cutting in there and chocolate starts running off of them. All right. Well, with all those children and grandchildren present, you don't have to worry about that. Andrea, would you come in? And before our preaching service this morning, play us a good song. Appreciate having you here today. Thank you. Appreciate that. That's a tribute to all of the mothers here. I started looking for texts for Mother's Day. Found so many of them. I just made some excerpts out of the book of Proverbs. I like this. Proverbs was written by Solomon, as you know. And Solomon was king of Israel for 40 years. He was the son of David and Bathsheba. And the Bible tells us, this is God's own record, that he's the wisest man that ever lived. He had lots of wisdom. And he ought to know. I mean, he's a good guy to quote on Mother's Day, because he had 700 wives and 300 concubines. And he was a wise man. And if there's anybody that ought to know about women, ask Solomon. He knows. I mean, he's got experimental knowledge here. But here's what he had to say about it. Proverbs 11, verse 16. A gracious woman retaineth honor. In Proverbs 12, verse 4, he says, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. In Proverbs 31, verse 10, he says, her price is far above rubies. In Proverbs 14, verse 1, he says, a wise woman buildeth her house. So he's given us here some marks of godly women. And we're going to look at some of these who are mentioned in the Bible, because the Bible is about a lot of people. And a lot of people here are examples to us. And the reason why God has preserved what they said or what they did or something that happened to them is so we could follow their example. And today we have some good examples for all of the ladies. Now you guys, you just sit back and say amen every once in a while. We're going to start with Sarah. Remember Sarah? Sarah is an example of the relationship between a woman and her husband. And since it's Mother's Day, Sarah was a mother, so she fits right into that category. Stop and think about it. Sarah and Abraham, her husband, had been raised together in the same home because they had the same father. They just had different mothers. So Sarah and Abraham were half brother and half sister. And when they got grown, they got married. I guess they didn't have any laws against it back then. But anyway, I think this was pretty good because, in a sense, she was his little sister. She was 10 years younger than he was. And after they got married, one of the outstanding things about Sarah is that she called Abraham, her husband, Lord.
Lord.
All right, thank you. I was waiting for that. She called him Lord, not in the sense that he was her Savior like our Lord Jesus Christ, but like he was her Master. She put herself in servitude to her own husband. And that's taught in the Bible. It's not emphasized too greatly today because we're living in a day of women's rights. And I'm not going to get into that at all. But even though she called him Lord, she didn't call him that all the time, by the way. Remember, they were husband and wife. There were times when she disagreed with him. And she would argue with him. And she would get her own way. That had nothing to do with his lordship. Sarah was a beautiful woman physically. Even at the age of 65, when Abraham took her down into Egypt one time, she was so beautiful and so desirable that even old Pharaoh on the throne wanted her in his harem. And Abraham had told her, said, "Now, hon, when we go down here, let's not go down as husband and wife, because they'll see you and they'll want you and they'll kill me to get you. So tell them that you're my sister. It's not a lie, it's a half-truth." I guess you could call it that. And so that's what they did. But of course, everything turned all right. It was Sarah's suggestion, by the way, when she became 90 years old and she'd been barren all of her life and couldn't get pregnant. She says, "Abraham, if you're ever going to have a son, you're going to have another wife. I can't do it. Physical impossibility with me." Now, while they were down in Egypt, she'd picked up a handmaid down there by the name of Hagar. And so she suggested to Abraham that he go in to Hagar and have a child by her, which he did. And she was zealous about fulfilling the promise of God, but she wanted to do it in the flesh, not let God do it in his own time. But anyway, when she was 90, God changed her name to Sarah from Sarai. And he performed a miracle. He renewed her body, and she conceived and bore a child, and they named him Isaac. Isaac was the promised seed of Abraham. Now, it's said of Sarah in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 11. "Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him," God, "faithful who had promised." So she didn't give up on God's promise. And then one day when Simon Peter, one of the apostles of Jesus, was talking about holy women who trusted in God and were in subjection to their own husbands, he used Sarah as an example. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 6, here's what he wrote. Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Now, I can look back over the past 69 years almost, and I can appreciate the woman that God gave to me to share my life with as a pastor's wife, and Rita was indeed to me a Sarah. I can talk about her. It's been 11 months since she's been with the Lord. Then there's another woman in the Bible that's a good example, and she is the example of a relationship between a woman and her son. And a lot of you ladies here today may have sons, and you'll want to know about Hannah. Hannah was a second wife. Her husband, Elkanah, his first wife was a woman by the name of Peninnah. Peninnah was fruitful. She bore children. Hannah was barren. She couldn't get pregnant. But her husband loved her. And he would try to console her with words like this that God saved for us. He says to her, "Am I not better to thee than 10 sons?" I wouldn't say that to my wife, but, you know, but Elkanah did to Hannah. Anyway, Hannah went into the tabernacle to pray. She was a godly woman. She feared the Lord. She prayed. And she prevailed in prayer. God heard and answered her prayer, and he gave her a little boy by the name of Samuel. And she also became fruitful. She had 3 more boys and 2 girls. So she had 6 children altogether there. I mean, when she started multiplying, she multiplied. But anyway, she was so happy about Samuel that she gave him to the Lord. Now, don't take this literally, because I don't want you to bring a child to me and say, "Preacher, I'm giving this child to the Lord." And since you're God's man, I want you to have him and raise him up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. But Hannah went to Eli. He was the high priest in the tabernacle. And she told him, she said, "For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I ask of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord." Now, lent means loaned. I've loaned him. I haven't given him. I'm just loaning him to the Lord. "As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord." And he was for 76 years. She never took him back. That's pretty good, isn't it? Because when you loan somebody something, you usually want it back, you know. But after 76 years, just go ahead and keep him, you know. 76 years. You know, I think back, she lent him to the Lord. I think back to my mother. I was talking in Sunday school class this morning about looking at Facebook last night, and lo and behold, I'm scrolling down through the pages, and here is a picture of my mother. Caught me quite by surprise. I didn't expect to see her on Facebook, but there she was. And, oh, I'll tell you, the flood of memories that came back. It's amazing. But there she was. My mother was a godly woman. I didn't know it for a long time, but I later found out that even before I was born, she gave me to God. She knew about Hannah. I didn't know that. And it was a while, long while, when I was in the ministry that she revealed that to me. But I was not the only one. My mother had five boys. And she gave every one of them to the Lord. And out of those five old barefooted, ragged, hard-working country boys, there was three of them that grew up and became servants of the living God. They chose the soft life. I'd rather be preaching than picking cotton, I'll tell you that. I make no bones about it. But three of them turned out to be preachers. And the other two are godly men who are active in their respective churches. But you know, when I think of Hannah, I also think of a parallel to her, a woman by the name of Rachel. Her husband also had two wives. Leah was fruitful. She had six boys. Rachel didn't have any. And Rachel did a lot of praying. And God gave her a little baby boy that she named Joseph. Remember Joseph? Yes, the same one that got sold by his brothers into Egyptian bondage down there. He became a slave. Then he became a prisoner in Pharaoh's prison. And then he was exalted to be ruler over all of Egypt and saved his people during the time of famine, when his dad and brothers and 70 of them came down to Egypt, and he set them up in the land of Goshen. And then she had another boy. Little Benjamin was born. And she died after she gave birth to Benjamin. Benjamin never knew his mother, what a wonderful person she was. Anyway, let's get along. How about Ruth? Ruth is an example of the relationship between a woman and her mother-in-law. Mother-in-law. I don't know how your relation is with mother-in-laws. Usually it's the man, but a lot of times it's a woman also has a mother-in-law. Ruth was a Moabitess. She had married a Jew boy by the name of Mahlon. He was the son of Naomi and Elimelech. They were from Bethlehem. But then her husband Elimelech died, and so did Mahlon, leaving two widows there, both Naomi and Ruth. They'd gone to Moab because of a famine. After the famine was over, they went back to Bethlehem. And Ruth got a job gleaning out in the fields. working for a farmer by the name of Boaz. And wouldn't you know it, first thing you know, Boaz and Ruth fell in love and they got married. And they had a little boy. They named him Obed. And when he was born, the Bible says that Naomi, Ruth's mother-in-law now, took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it. She just adopted that little boy. Now, he was really no relation to Naomi, because when Mahlon had died, that broke the relationship of mother-in-law and daughter-in-law that existed between them. And now she's married another guy, and this is his child. But Naomi has taken little Obed, and she's raising it. And her women neighbors had this testimony. They would say to her, "Thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, is better to thee than seven sons." Now that's what I would call a good relationship between her and her mother-in-law. It's kind of like it was with my wife and my mother. My mother and my daddy had five boys. Every time my mother would get pregnant, she would pray that it'd be a girl, but it was a boy. And she was the only woman around the house. And then whenever I brought this beautiful little blonde teenage girl into the home as my wife, guess what? I almost lost my wife because she became my mother's daughter that she never had. So the relationship between my wife and my mother was more like a relationship between a mother and daughter than it was a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law. They were close. Beautiful relationship. Another one is a woman by the name of Lois. You read about her over in 2 Timothy. She gives us an example of a relationship between a woman and her daughter and her grandson. Now, nothing is said in there about Timothy's daddy. We don't know anything about it. When we look at it at face value, it seems like that Timothy is being raised by his mother and his grandmother. And it says of Lois, Paul wrote about her in his letter to Timothy, and he said, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." So here's a grandmother who is full of faith. And he's talking about this unfeigned faith that was dwelling in her. Now, to dwell means to live. Not just an overnight visit, but it's dwelling there. It's always there. And she had passed that faith on to her daughter Eunice, and they too had passed it on to Lois's grandson, Timothy. And it seems that behind every great man, there's always a great woman somewhere. And nothing is said about his father or his grandfather, but I'm sure they too were men of faith. Both of my grandfathers were veterans of the Civil War. That made them pretty old. My maternal grandfather died when my mother was about 5 years old, so I never knew him. My paternal grandfather died when I was 3 years old. I don't have much of a recollection of him either. But from what I hear, they were both godly men. I did not get faith from them because I wasn't around them. But my two grandmothers lived on. And they were women of faith. And they poured love into my soul as I was growing up, and I appreciate them. They were my Lois. Another one is Deborah. Today we would probably call her Debbie. She was an example of the relationship between a woman and her people. She was a sort of a public figure. She's the one out of the bunch that we have here that is in prominence. In public life, she was a prophetess. Now, a prophetess is just a female prophet. And a prophet is a person through whom God spoke to his people. He didn't come out with an audible voice like he did to Moses on Mount Sinai. But he would give a message to Moses, and Moses would come down and say to the people, "Thus saith the Lord." That's the way she was. She was married. Her husband's name was Lapidoth. And she would pass on God's word to the people, and she judged Israel during the time of the Canaanite oppression. And a fellow by the name of Sisera was captain of the host of the Canaanites, and he came against Israel with 900 iron chariots. And she called Barak, not President Barak. This is another fella in the Bible that's got the same name. She called Barak, and she had a message from the Lord, she told him. She says, "The Lord wants you to rally 10,000 troops and attack Sisera. The Lord had said, I will deliver him," talking to Debbie, "I will deliver him into your hand." And then when she was talking to Barak, she told him in Judges chapter 4, and Barak said unto her, "If thou wilt go with me," to Debbie, "then I will go. But if thou wilt not go with me, I will not go." And she said, "I will surely go with thee. Notwithstanding, the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor." You're not going to get the credit for this victory. "For the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman." And Barak went with her. They won the victory, but he didn't get to wear the crown of victory, so to speak. It was Deborah. Sisera's army was destroyed. He ran. He found refuge in the tent of a woman by the name of Jael. J-A-E-L. And Jael opened a bottle of milk and gave him a good swig of milk. He was quite thirsty. And she covered him up with a mantle so no one would see him. And Sisera was very weary from the battle, so he went to sleep. And as soon as she heard him snoring, she went over here and got a metal tent. You kids, cover your ears. She got a metal tent stake and a hammer. And she went over there and she put the business end of that metal tent stake against his temple as he's laying down here on the floor. And she took that mallet and she hit that thing and drove it all the way through his head from one side out the other into the ground. The women got the victory. They got credit for it too. Hey, then she sat down and wrote a song about it. Yes, she did. It's in the Bible. Song of victory and thanksgiving. Anyway, let's go to Miriam. Miriam is a picture of the relationship between a woman and her two brothers. Have brothers in the family? Here it is. Her brothers were Aaron and Moses. They were both younger than she was. You remember Moses when he was a little 3 months old baby. His mother was afraid that Pharaoh would come and kill him. So she made a little basket for him. They called it an ark. And she put this little 3 month old baby boy in that. They took it down to the river and left it there on the river in the edge of the water down here among the reeds that were growing in the water, the edge of the water. Pharaoh's daughter comes down, accompanied by her maids, and she finds this little basket. Wonder what's in here. So she lifts it up, and there is that beautiful little three-month-old baby boy. And about that time, he started crying. He was hungry. Little Miriam was off out here, out of sight, watching what was going on. And as soon as she saw that Moses had been discovered by the princess, she went running down there, and she said to her, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And the princess says, "Sure." So she went running home, "Mama, mama, mama." And she got her mother to come down there, and Pharaoh's daughter says to her, "You take this little child, and I'll pay you to raise him for me. He is going to be my child, but I'm going to pay you to raise him for me." And so she did. Now Miriam was a prophetess and a songwriter as well. She accompanied her brothers, Aaron and Moses, out of Egyptian bondage, out into the wilderness. But before they got to the promised land, she died. She never made it into the land of Canaan. But then again, neither did Aaron or Moses. They died too. Now, let me close with one more. Kind of save the best to last. Mary. Mary is an example of the relationship between a woman and her God. The angel Gabriel appeared to her in Nazareth. And he said to her, Mary, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. That which is born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And Mary replied, no, I don't want to have anything to do with that. I'm a virgin. You expect me to come up pregnant? What are the people, what are the neighbors going to think? I would become a reproach. They might even stone me to death. But not Mary, because this is coming from God. And Mary, in those beautiful words, says, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the woman who can get down on her knees and pray to Almighty God in the face of adversity, or whatever situation it might be, and turn herself over to the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And she turned her life over to God. And then when the time was come, Jesus was born in Bethlehem, laid in a manger. And later on, Mary saw her son being crucified. She was at the cross when Jesus died. But she was also at the tomb when Jesus rose again. Soon he's coming back for us. All because Mary said, be it unto me according to thy word. Let's stand together, please, with our heads bowed in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you today to thank you for this beautiful Mother's Day. And, of course, we thank you for our mothers. Thank you for what they went through to make us what we are today. And we give credit where credit is due. And Lord, we pray today your blessings upon each mother who is present in our congregation here today. We pray for those who will become mothers if Jesus tarries his coming. And we pray for your grace to be sufficient and each and every circumstance. And may today maybe we've learned something from these women that we've talked about here today in our relationship with those who come into contact with us from time to time. We ask today, Father, that if there's one here today who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that today they will come and with the submission of a Mary, give themselves unto you. They'll never be sorry for it. And we'll give you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Number 493.
493. One verse of an invitation this morning. Will you come? Jesus is calling today. Come home. Aren't you glad you have a home to come to? Will you come today? Thank you for coming. Remember, 6 o'clock this evening, come out and be with us again in our preaching service. We'll have a good time in the Lord. As we're dismissed in prayer this morning, Brother Raul, would you lead us, please, in prayer?